910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court expected to rule this morning over whether former President Donald Trump has broad immunity over prosecution for any actions that he took as president. For any actions there, former top aide Steve Bannon reporting to prison today for his four-month sentence for refusing to testify before Congress about January 6th. Former Presidents Obama and Clinton among the Democrats doubling down, it said, on their support for Joe Biden even after last week's disastrous debate performance.
Political reports Biden's family is urging him to fire or demote top campaign aides for not preparing him to go on the attack and for overworking him before the debate. A new poll shows 72% of registered voters do not believe Biden has the mental or cognitive health necessary to serve as president.
ABC's M. Nguyen. Boeing agreeing to a deal with the Justice Department that would avoid a trial over 737 MAX crashes that killed hundreds of people. This is ABC News. A young Oklahoma entrepreneur is turning a kid's cliche into cash by joining the Chamber of Commerce.
Six-year-old Sue Ann LeMays saved her money from her lemonade stand she's operated for 4 years. Her mom urged her to pay the $10 dues to the Tunkhawa, Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce Exec Director Christy Crumrine.
With her own money?
One, two, three.
A ribbon cutting for her new lemonade, hot dogs, and pizza business. What does LeMay really, really, really like doing?
I really, really, really like selling stuff.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Parent company of the movie rental service Redbox has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment reportedly hasn't paid employees in over a week. The company has at least $970 million in debt to a number of Hollywood studios, Walgreens and Walmart. The company's publishing arm that puts out the Chicken Soup series is not affected by the bankruptcy filing. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. Yeah, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died unexpectedly on Friday. Delagrave was first elected in 2015. County Board Chair Tom Kramer will serve as the acting county executive until the position is filled. Delagrave was born and raised in Racine County and lived in the area his entire life. Milwaukee leaders are calling for an end to gun violence after 2 days of multiple shootings. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman spoke at a press conference Thursday.
And we as a community need to step up and say, enough, enough. Show our young ones how to resolve these issues in a productive way. Do something.
15 people were shot in Milwaukee on Wednesday and Thursday. A man, a pregnant woman, and a one-year-old baby were killed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
A Brewers win over the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-1 victory over the Chicago Cubs in Milwaukee. Chicago's Kyle Hendricks had his curveball and changeup working until the fourth when he gave up a home run to Christian Yelich, then three consecutive singles, followed by a grand slam by Bryce Terang. I asked Hendricks, was that the worst inning of his career?
I've had a lot of really bad innings. You just sit and you evaluate it for what it was. It was pretty clear to me that there were pitches up over the middle of the plate. So when I'm doing that, you don't give yourself much of a chance anyway.
After giving up a solo home run on the second pitch pitch of the game, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta settled in. Retired 14 batters in a row. How did he react to Terang's grand slam?
I get excited and I get emotional in that moment. I said a bad word that I'm not allowed to say here. But it was great. Great feeling.
The crew opened a series tonight against the Rockies. Racing at Road America, Paul Menard took the checkered flag at the Trans Am event, but was later penalized for illegal contact with another car. He dropped a second, making Brent Cruz the winner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have some thunderstorms and the potential for a little heavy rain tonight into tomorrow. We're talking a half inch to an inch or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy, breezy, up to 75. 53 tonight, scattered thunderstorms tomorrow with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrich joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio unabashedly Wisconsin and brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, is in Eau Claire. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here, along with Greg Bach. Nice to have you here on this Monday, July 1st. It's July, everybody. We made it to the second half of the year.
Oh, it's going to be July.
Feels every bit as dysfunctional as the first half.
Man. Right?
Man. More.
I'm right-handed, but I've had to move my little coffee hot plate to the left side of my desk. I'm trying not to bump the microphone when I do this, so apologies if I do at all.
Which he just did as he's... I'm trying not to bump the microphone.
Bump, yep. Just to... When you hear that, you go, oh, look, Pat's trying to get caffeinated again. We've got all the grandkids are coming this weekend, so I can't have the electrical cord over on the right side over here. Because as I proved last week, wasn't it last week, Greg, that I've already tripped over it once and almost sent the coffee cup flying? So
yeah, it's not really the grandkids we're worried about at this point.
It's Grandpa. It's Grandpa. I know.
Back in my day, we didn't have cords. We just lit them up with fire.
Electricity.
Yep, our oil lamps were good. We just put the cup of coffee on top of that. Brittany, what a gorgeous weekend. I mean, well, Sunday. Saturday, a little cloudy and windy, but gorgeous this morning. Oh, that it could last.
I know. Can we just put it on repeat for the entire week and then
yes,
the weekend we and everything? I wish. Nice?
Yes, but no, we still,
power.
We still have... thunderstorms out there. We have swollen rivers. We have all kinds of reasons to get you out of bed in the morning.
I know. And, seriously.
And heed her words seriously. Here they are now.
Here we go. So beautiful out there right now. Gorgeous skies. Temperatures today climbing anywhere from those low 70s to mid 70s statewide. But we will see some clouds starting to increase around lunch. We are going to get cloudy this evening. We'll stay dry for the most part, but we do have showers and storms pushing in. I think that they'll arrive to our western areas after midnight and then to our eastern areas around 4 a.m. or so. We're looking at a dumping of rain, not crazy severe storms, but heavy downpours where we could see anywhere from a half an inch to an inch of rainfall. We've got the first round that's going to, of course, bring us the rain early tomorrow morning, and then another round on tomorrow afternoon and into the evening. So you combine those together, we could see nearly an inch and a half in some places. So we're going to have some flooding issues with those rivers already swollen, like Pat was talking about. And then if you're camping out there, expect that ground to be wet and soggy for a little bit. We do dry out a little bit on Wednesday, and there are some storm chances on Thursday and into Friday, but we'll get into all those details later. You're going to have to wait just a little bit, but it is out there. It's not heavy rain, but rain chances in there.
I'm sorry, Greg looked like he was going to address something over here.
I'm just sad.
Everyone's upset. I get it.
I'm on the 5th, we're supposed to have a cookout, and it's supposed to rain from sun up to sundown.
But yeah. Apart from that, you
know, I mean,
other than that, it's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, hopefully if we all cross our fingers, yes. The storms will stay away on Thursday evening and hold off until midnight or so.
There's always the cone of uncertainty, as they like to say, you know, the storm could go this way or the other. Good morning from Tigerton. Rob writes, it's sunny and 54, going to be a beautiful day. I have mowing jobs in Wittenberg today before it rains tomorrow. I had a Walkman when I was in high school jamming to the rock and country songs of the 1980s. Brittany, what was your first personal music player?
Oh, it was definitely a Walkman, actually. Oh, a Walkman? That's crazy that he said that because...
Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe you were young enough, like, oh, I got some AirPods, you know, 2 years ago. That was my first, but no.
No. Right. What do I call myself? An elder millennial or something like that?
Good, I like it.
I had the phone that was plugged into the wall, you know, people had to call the parents if they wanted to get a hold of me. So I know, I know.
Okay, all right. Selena, what was your first little personal music player?
Probably later on, I did have a Walkman. Probably I remember having that.
Yep. Greg?
Didn't use it much, probably.
No.
I had a Walkman on me I remember when I first started going to school with a Walkman, I would sneak it in because I thought I was going to get in trouble, and then no one cared. But I always had a Walkman in my backpack. I was always listening to music whenever I could. Sometimes when class was going on, I should have been listening in class. But that's neither here nor there, kids. The more you know.
See, I had to carry an AM console radio with me with two hands all the time. The tubes would sometimes get really hot when you carried the radio on.
I'll grab a pack back.
Brittany, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You as well.
And folks can join us here. 855-75-CIVIC is the phone number. 855-75-CIVIC. Selena, let's talk for a bit about stories you're working on for Up North News, and that would include talking to somebody about the topic of surrogacy parenting for parents people who want to be parents, couples and individuals who want to be parents. Might be fertility issues, might be that they're, you know, a same-sex couple, all kinds of reasons. And like you were saying right before the break, there's quite a few people that are willing to, you know, experience or endure, depending on your point of view, pregnancy and childbirth on behalf of others.
Well, right. What a selfless act, huh?
Right.
To go through all that. I mean, it's quite a process when you think about it. And a lot of people don't realize it's a big time commitment, not to mention your body goes through all of that, and all of those things. But when you meet with a couple, when you match and then you talk about it and you make a contract and all of that, I mean, it could be a 2-year time commitment for all of that. So it's quite a bit involved. And one of the mom that I was talking to, she said, you know, people think, oh, it's easy money. So
don't know that I'd call it easy money, but
no,
but
there are a lot of risks.
Okay. But there, you did find somebody in the Chippewa Valley who does this.
Yes, Britt Poplowski. She's in Eau Claire, and oh my gosh, she's an amazing person. She's an ER nurse on the weekends, full-time doctoral student during the week, and now she's in her second surrogacy with the same family. And she wanted to, she said, like you said, a lot of her friends had, their couple friends had infertility issues, or same-sex couples don't have a lot of options to have a child. So they kind of thought about that in all of this process. And they actually chose an agency that dealt specifically with same-sex couples because there's not a lot of options. And some people, she said, she was reading on all of this stuff that aren't willing to give a same-sex couple that kind of an experience. So she wanted to be a person. They wanted to be people that did this for same-sex couples and give them opportunities. So just a wonderful family, and the bond that they formed with the other family is pretty incredible.
Let's give a listen to Britt.
All right.
I can genuinely say that I would not even begin to consider I mean, even my own pregnancy, but surrogacy for sure, in a state with, you know, restricted abortion laws or things like that, because they're like, I think a lot of people don't understand the serious nature of surrogacy. Like, you genuinely have to be willing to compromise your own fertility. So one of the guidelines is that you should be done having your own children, because secondary fertility after IVF is unfortunately common. There are intended parents out there who are looking for a surrogate after losing their own fertility doing a surrogacy. And so it really is like, you have to be done having your own family. And pregnancy and labor and delivery are risky, and the statistics in the United States are disgusting. Like, they're horrible, and you have to really genuinely consider that. And if I were in a state where if something went wrong, or I had an ectopic pregnancy or a missed miscarriage, and there was nothing I could do about it but wait until it's bad enough that my life is genuinely in jeopardy, I can completely say I would not even consider being in the position that I am now if I was in a state that that was a reality. And there are a lot of states right now where that is a reality, and that's terrifying.
So yeah, so she really wanted to convey just to think about all of these things and take everything into consideration, all of these risks, because there are so many risks. You wouldn't, you know, maybe potential surrogates don't think of all of that kind of stuff. But she said, you know, you really have to stop and think. It's not just an easy process.
I mean, it really does take us into two different areas. We've talked about IVF and other parts of reproductive health that are under assault, as Britt said in that at first bite. And then you also have parenting for same-sex couples. Again, something that continues to be under assault by people on the far right, and something that she has made a very conscious decision to help a couple create a family.
Oh, exactly. And there are a couple different kinds of surrogacy. She is a gestational surrogate, and which most are. And so that's where you have, you take a sperm from one parent potentially, and then a donor for eggs. And then she's the carrier. So it's, she says, like, people ask, you know, how can you give up the baby? And she said, it's not my baby. It's has nothing genetically having to do with a surrogate. But yes, yeah, they chose a same-sex couple from the Chicago area, and she will have their second baby in November. And it would be 2 years after she had the first baby. So it was November a couple of years ago where she had the first one. And she said the bond that they have shared now, and they've become friends, and it's just it's a great story. So she talks about having the baby.
There were multiple reasons why I wanted to work with a same-sex couple, and so that was ultimately why I chose the agency that I did. And then, like you said, they genuinely would have zero way to have, I mean, aside from adoption, their own child without surrogacy. And so that was really cool. It was very... I'm sure that as the years go on, the mental images will fade, but I can genuinely still see it in my head where they were surrounded by the incubator, or both of them had their shirts off and were doing skin to skin with the baby on the couch. And it was just so beautiful to watch that and to know that I was a part of helping them achieve the family that they wanted to have.
So she says she'll just always remember those things, because they got to be in the delivery room all together at the same time. So what an experience. And she said, you know, they saved up enough. It's expensive. They saved up enough money. They were an older couple. She said they've been together for more than 20 years. And just to see this finally achieved, this lifelong dream, it was just a fantastic experience.
Selena's working on that story for us. You can look for upnorthnewswi.com or look for social media, upnorthnewswi, for the stories that she's working on, including that one. And we're going to talk to her more about picking your own strawberries coming up right after the break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that.
You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Mentioning among all the birthdays today, Fred Schneider of the B-52s is 73 years old today. Selena Heller's with us on Up North News Radio. And for folks who are just catching us on the radio or podcast, if you're not watching the live video feed and always wonder, you know, just how tough is it really to be a reporter? I mean, what kind of conditions do you have to go through? Whiskers has been attacking this poor girl the entire time that she's been trying to do this report. At one point, Whiskers, when she puts Whiskers off to the side, Whiskers just takes the tail and puts it right into her mouth, just flips it. And without breaking character at all, she's continuing to talk to you as she's plucking fur off her lips or her hair.
Oh, chapstick, I mean, this tail gets stuck, you know.
So definitely a theater kid.
Selena Heller, professional.
Yep. Done a lot of improv.
the cat is especially needy today, but that's all right. So. All right, so we've reached that point in the summer where you're maybe noticing roadside signs. Maybe you're seeing some commercials where folks can go pick their own strawberries. It's that time of year. It's that time of year for some. It will not be for me. There's things. Look, there's a grocery store. It's right down the road here. I can see it. But for others, they find that this is an enjoyable activity.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Yes. And
so you talked with somebody from one of the larger farms in the area.
Yes. And growing up, this is something we always did. And especially my dad and I, we would go every year and pick strawberries. And that was our thing. So I really wanted to Emery to do that too. Like, this is what we do. We go pick.
Oh, wait, you subjected her to this as well?
Of course, but you know, I say you can.
You eat. Are such a no. downer.
It's fun, Pat.
Here, come kid, on. Get in the dirt and get us some food. I mean, come on.
There's just kind of more running around than anything.
Or I suppose, like, yes.
Playing around, eating strawberries. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. So, yes, we go every year and pick strawberries wherever. The season is kind of winding up. Probably in the next couple of days here for pick your own strawberries. But we went a couple of weeks ago where it was kind of just the start. Mm-hmm. So we went to Govan's in Menominee, and this is John Govan talking about if you don't get to your strawberries once you pick them, what to do afterwards. You can keep them all winter and then use them in the winter. So this was kind of a hot tip.
If you're in a hurry, you can just cap them. We never wash anything. If you do choose to wash your berries, wash them and rinse them lightly before you take the caps off. But the easiest way to get them in the freezer is you pop the cap off, put them on a cookie sheet, and when they're frozen solid enough that they won't stick to each other, then you can put them in a Ziploc bag. You can take strawberries out and make strawberry jam in the winter.
So there you go. You don't have to get to them right away. And that's exactly what I
hadn't
did.
Thought of it that way. What we end up doing, we do go through a lot of strawberries and blueberries here. And I will, if I know we're not getting to some right away, I will rinse them. I will dry them as best I can and then put them in, you know, in mason jars. I never thought about freezing them so that they don't stick to each other and then doing it that way.
Yeah, and a lot of people just take them out later for smoothies or whatever. Last year, I think we picked so many, and I didn't know. I wanted to make jam, so we made freezer jam. And so now I still have a lot of freezer jam. A lot of freezer jam.
Oh, I'm starting a band called Freezer Jam. We're going to be a Northwoods winter band that just plays Fish in the Dead and is like, we're freezer jam.
And, you know, for hecklers, they'll throw frozen blueberries at you. They're pelting us with frozen fruit.
Well, you got to pay attention.
Starting now is pick your own, like, raspberries and coming up blueberries. So be ready for that.
See, this is where I wish Sherry could be here to talk a bit about being a farm kid growing up. Because, I mean, she was... never not the biggest fan of the pick your own berry stuff, because again, you wanted to eat them, but you know, your mom and dad wanted to get them home and get them canned and everything. But not just that, but the, you know, the wild ones along the road as well. Sure. You know, the raspberry, I've had my share of those, you know, out in the woods and things. But then asparagus too, where to be like almost dinner time, and you know, her mom would give her, you know, some shears and a bucket and say, go get us some asparagus from over by the railroad tracks, because it grows wild, you know, out in that area. And uh-huh. Right, see, city kids like me, and like, I can't relate to this, you know.
We had a raspberry patch and a blackberry patch. Raspberries I love, but blackberries were so much pickier, and I hated picking blackberries. But you had to strap my mom would always give me a bucket and strap it to a belt, and then you went out, and it was during fair time, and it was like, I just wanted to go to the fair, but nope, we had to pick blackberries before we did that, and. And blackberries, I always thought, well, you know, they're sourer, so you have to get the big juicy ones. And so they were fewer and far between. And so.
Wait, forget about my old age jokes. Listen to Grandma Heller over here. It's like, you know, we had a bucket that was strapped to us.
Back in my day, I just used to pick blueberries and railroad asparagus. That's all our dinner was.
If you want to eat that, switch.
Well, Railroad Asparagus.
Railroad Asparagus.
Band name.
Yeah, Railroad Asparagus opening up
for freezer jam.
For freezer jam. Right.
Meanwhile, I grew up in suburban Waukesha City. Where I was like, oh, this can doesn't have an opener. I can't eat this stuff.
Yeah, Sherry had
my
never.
PB&J.
Sherry had never had vegetables out of a can till she met me in college, and you know, said, no, this is how food works out here. And I mean, what was I saying on Friday, Greg? Bomb pops.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was the ice cream truck was coming, and would they have bomb pops in it or not? No asparagus by the railroad tracks for us.
Were you there the first time you saw Spam?
Spam? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of Spam. Love Spam. What were you going to say, Selena?
We didn't ever have like pickles from the store. So that really wasn't a thing. So I was like, pickles from the store? Like that's like, that was a whole like kind of an exciting thing when we had pickles from someplace else, pickles from the store, even though, you know, I loved pickles.
Could you make pickles now if we?
Could I? Oh gosh. No, I mean, we did it every year.
No, I'm not stopping over with a butter churn later and saying, now look, we're going to need some butter.
I could totally make pickles.
How to churn butter.
You could make pickles?
Yeah. The jar will have a label that says Milwaukee pickles on it, but don't worry about that. It's not important. It's
totally homemade.
I made them 100% in my factory somewhere in the state.
Somewhere near a local grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah,
works out fine.
We made the coolest cucumber rings. They weren't watermelon rings. They had like cinnamon sticks and red hots, and they were red. So when you get the really big cucumbers, you'd carve out the middle and then have these rings. And that was kind of my mom's specialty. She would bring these everywhere. And that was our fun little like, oh, what are these?
When did Selena leave and Laurel Ingalls Wilder suddenly came in here? Like living a little house on the prairie of Black River Falls. Yeah. Big plans for the fourth weekend at all, Ms. Heller?
Oh, gosh. A lot of times we go camping. We go to the Chautauqua area a lot of times.
Okay.
There's lots of festivities there.
All right. Well, whatever it is, enjoy it. Thanks.
You too.
Well, maybe we'll talk to you Wednesday as well if you're around. Stop by.
Okay.
Yes.
Big birthday week.
Yeah. That's what they say. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Selena. Talk to you later. You.
Okay, bye-bye.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob about coverage post-debate after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
There is a lot of conversation in Wisconsin agriculture about conservation, sustainable farming practices, but sometimes seeing is really believing. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. Ron Brooks from Brooks Farm in Waupaca says, once you visually see the end result, it can convince a lot of farms to change their practices. Details next. Ron Brooks from Brooks Farm in Waupaca is a previous winner of the Leopold Conservation Award. He said by showing other farms the success they've had with their no-till practices, well, that convinces them to think about doing it for themselves.
And we'll get in the plane and we will follow if they have a farm or if they, you know, we'll take a variety of farms, take our no-till farm or a conventionally tilled farm, and we'll just follow the water. And it is eye-opening. You'll see, you know, from our fields, clean water coming off. If it does come off, typically it infiltrates and there's no water coming off. And then you'll see conventionally tilled soil and the topsoil that's leaving and the silt fans in the river. And it's really, really eye-opening for young people to see that and go, oh, yeah, I probably should take a look at adopting these practices.
Ron Brooks from Brooks Farm in Waupaca, previous winner of the Leopold Conservation Award here in the state. He says the biggest challenges he sees for beginning farmers are just the cost of admission. He also says the learning curve has gotten very, very steep. So again, learning by someone else's examples sometimes really resonates.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
And Wisconsin dairy producers got a little good news in the month of May. Their milk price went up to $21.30 a hundredweight. That's about $1.83 per gallon at the farm gate for a gallon of raw milk. The price is $2.70 a hundredweight higher than what they were paid for April milk. And that's what's happening in food news for Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have some thunderstorms and the potential for a little heavy rain tonight into tomorrow. We're talking a half inch to an inch or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Today, partly cloudy, breezy, up to 75. 53 tonight, scattered thunderstorms tomorrow with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for July 4th. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
bit of Blues Brothers there. Dan Aykroyd turns 72 years old today. It's Monday morning, July 1st. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Mark Jacob is here joining us from Chicago as well, where normally we'd had him on Friday mornings, but that would have been the morning right after the debate. And given the way media coverage was sounding, I was genuinely afraid for his health, that he might pop an aneurysm or something. I still worry about that for myself. But now, a couple of days removed, we can talk a bit more clear-headed about the state of the race and the media coverage over it. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. I don't know that things have calmed down a whole lot, Pat.
No, I don't think. I actually don't think they have either, which is why I remind folks, if you ever miss an hour of the show, you can go back, go over to civicmedia.us and listen back to any given hour of the show or subscribe to us as a podcast. Because an hour ago, I had, shall we say, a bit of a rant about all of this. People forgetting that, again, the things that happen in June are a lifetime ago by the time that you get to November. Forgetting everything of the past 3 years in terms of accomplishments and leaderships. But then from a practical standpoint, Mark, and this is where I think I want to start with you and the media. It's like, well, Biden should drop out, Biden should drop out, Biden should drop out. A, where were you with a former president convicted of felonies? But also, how do you think this process works? I mean, you're looking for like a wide open Democratic race or something? It's just such a complete knee-jerk reaction without a thought to what happens in the real world for a case like this.
Yeah, well, let's just start it with the start, though. I mean, if you watch the debate, it was bad. And I'm a little annoyed when I watch MSNBC and they say, well, it was late at night, you know, and stuff like that. Don't make excuses for it. It was bad. And all right, so it was bad. So, we were all jolted and all that. But then you start, that's when you just put on your thinking cap and you think, well, what are the alternatives? And there certainly doesn't seem to be an alternative. The only alternative I could see is handing it over to Kamala. And even that is full of risks of various ilks. One, because, people are still racist and sexist, some of people at least. And so she might have a tough time. Anyway, there are all these scenarios, but the truth of it is that it's a mess either way. And deciding that, well, we can just, what they're trying to do is the media is, I think, is just trying to decide that there are simple solutions to something there isn't a simple solution to.
That's exactly it, is the constant need for instant gratification on something and to not have the sense to say, okay, wait, if a sitting president were to drop out at this state of the race and was to do anything other than say, this is my vice president, she's stepping up.
Right.
The way that I put it, last hour is, Black women are the unsung heroes of the Democratic Party in terms of voter turnout. They are Katherine Johnson at NASA. You appreciate the work, but you want to wait 60 years before publicly acknowledging it. And this isn't Hidden Figures, right, boys and girls. This is the real world. And try to figure out what kind of signal that sends.
Pat, if you take Black women out of the equation, we're already a dictatorship. I mean, we are. If you just look at their numbers in various races in this country, Donald Trump never would have gotten beat in 2020. I mean, who knows what state we're in? We might not even be having an election this year.
I worry about that all the time. I tell people, it's a punchline, but I mean it sincerely. I am genuinely looking forward to the presidential election of 2028. It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be two new people. But to get there, we have to survive. We have to get through 2026, which is the 250th anniversary of this nation, which I always, all my life, thought would be like this really happy occasion. And now I wonder if we're going to get there with the current system of government, depending on how things shake out this year.
Yeah. But let's not be too negative. I mean, the thing about it, I think the risk is that you see what happened in the debate and you say, oh, I give up. It's really not time to give up. It's time to work hard. And part of the, while this was Biden's debate to lose and he lost it, CNN, just the idea that you would go, you would put the biggest liar in American life on TV and you wouldn't fact check him is it's unforgivable. I don't understand how you would do that. I mean, it's an infomercial for insurrection. It's like there's just no. If you knew what you were going to get. I mean, I was saying 2 months ago that this debate was a stupid idea because you can't fact check somebody fast enough if they're that much of a liar. It's a fire hose of falsehood. That's the whole system of, you know, fascist rhetoric these days. And so you're not be able to fact check them fast enough. And the problem was CNN and didn't fact check them at all. And then no, Biden was unable to.
And they agreed. They agreed in advance that they weren't right. going to fact check at the time. And I'm seeing clips now from Dana Bash's program where, you know, Jim Clyburn called her out on air for the lack of it. And meanwhile, Lynn Graham praised her for saying, quote, you did a good job. You're not fact checkers.
Right. Well, what's the value added of the journalism if you're not a fact checker?
Right. You're a pellet dispenser of questions then. Right, that's it.
Exactly. Exactly. You were like, you know, you're the chimpanzee pushing the button in the control room or something. I don't know. I mean, what do they think journalists are supposed to be? And what's the value of journalism? It's really not pushing the buttons and letting everyone just talk and say whatever they want. It's actually, it's analyzing what they say. It's saying, well, this happened back 20 years ago. It's saying, well, this is what the bill actually says. That's the value added of journalism. And if you're not doing that, you're just providing a platform for people to lie on.
Right. And I've said before, but I'm going to say again that rather than live TV, I'd like to see much more essentially post game where you roll the tape back and point out what's true and what's false. Now, look, a cable channel could do that any night they wanted to. That's fine. What I'm saying is one of the big three, NBC, CBS, ABC, really ought to say we're doing a 2-hour special report or 1 hour if you fear your viewership doesn't have the attention span. And say, we're going to go through all of this.
Oh, that would be great.
You get to the end of that hour, and you get to what many people did see during the debate, is that Trump is just a fire hose of disinformation. But for many other folks, until you stop them and break it down like this, they're going to concentrate more on the guy talking slowly about truthful things rather than, you know, the guy who is confidently spewing falsehoods.
No, and again, without giving Trump any more kind of air, these falsehoods, these are just completely made up in his head lies. You know, the Biden wants to quadruple everyone's taxes. That's completely out of nowhere. That's him just making up crap. That's what that is. And the whole post-birth abortion thing, which he keeps on repeating and all of his minions keep on repeating, that just doesn't happen. That is not a real thing. That's an Earth 2 thing. That's something that they're just making up, and yet it went completely unchallenged on Thursday.
Yeah, and I think that's what left so many of us slack-jawed from early in the debate onward. First was wait, what's going on with the president here? Why is he not at the top of his game?
Very sluggish.
But then, I mean, it was quickly supplemented or replaced with, are they really not going to stop? Are they really not going to say, I'm sorry, Mr. President Trump, we're not moving forward till we make sure that there are no post-birth abortions? That's not a thing. Just pick that one that you mentioned. You could pick so many others, but how do you not pump the brakes right there?
Or Pat, even if you're not going to do fact-checking, they asked Trump a question about how he was going to make childcare affordable.
Yes.
And his answer didn't answer any of that. I mean, he didn't even say the words childcare. I mean, it was completely on a different subject, you know, his usual BS and all that. They didn't come back. And I went back and looked at the transcript. The next words out of Jake Tapper's mouth are, thank you, Mr. President. That's what he says at the end of that.
And or what they did.
Please answer my question. My question is about childcare. It wasn't about Ukraine. It's about childcare. Answer the question. What are your plans to make childcare affordable?
They did occasionally go, well, you still have 42 seconds, and I'd like to get back to this question. Again, if it were me, I'd be like, okay, we're going to reset the clock, and I'm going to again tell you the question. How about you answer it this time? Right. And apparently nobody wants to be that guy. And again, forgive me for venerating him, but nobody wants to be Tim Russert on this and say, I don't give a damn whether you like me or not. You're going to answer the question while you're here with me.
Well, this is what, you know, and my I'm going to plug my Stop the Presses newsletter.
Yes, please.
Which is stopthepresses.news. And that's going to come out this morning. And I'm writing about this issue. And I'm writing about how it just feels to me that sometimes these kind of high profile news people are trying to burnish their careers instead of get to the truth, you know. And this was a big win for CNN and for Trump. It just wasn't a win for the truth. I mean, so what you really worry about is this situation where, and the same thing happened, Pat. I want to mention the fact that Steve Bannon is going to prison today, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And so these news networks did big interviews with him, and they let him say all this crap and just kind of, you know, the ABC did a 12-minute interview with him on their Sunday morning show, you know, and just letting Steve Bannon just spout all this lies and talk about war, you know, the Civil War and stuff like that. It's just toxic, but it was a big get for the networks, you know. It's like, and so it becomes this cooperative project in which both the networks and the fascists are building their brand. I mean, and that's not journalism either. That's the fascists and the networks building their brand.
So we get that from, you know, more traditional media outlets, but then you have some, you know, we've mentioned MSNBC, for example, where even Joe Scarborough was talking about Biden dropping out. But I don't know that there's been more reaction than the guys who used to work for President Obama, who now have, you know, the whole crooked media, Pod Save America, right. John Favreau, one of the former speechwriters, and some others. I mean, they are really taking it from, you know, again, the folks who are upset with them saying, well, you were all good when, you know, you were with Obama, but boy, anybody else, and you're suddenly a traitor or something. I mean, if you're a Republican, you could not think that the inner fights right now are any more delicious than they are right now.
Yeah, I think the stars are really lining up for the Republicans, and that's got to end. My feeling about that whole this whole issue, you know, should Biden go, should he stay, and all this stuff. I do remember that, you know, that another candidate, you know, was caught on audio tape saying he was grabbing the private parts of women, and that happened even closer to the election, and it didn't seem to stop him from getting elected. So I think things that we think, and you do you remember when you first heard that that Access Hollywood thing? I remember thinking he's done. He couldn't possibly survive that, and so. So these instant reactions are sometimes not really right.
Right. I thought he was instantly done the first time he said about John McCain. Well, I like, you know, people who don't get captured. I thought, this guy's done. Right. And yet I started hearing people going, oh, you know, he might be right. And that's when I immediately thought I must be living on Earth, too.
And so what Biden did, you know, last week was not any, I mean, it certainly wasn't intentional, and it wasn't as horrible as any of those things.
No,
but
not even close.
But it was alarming. I get that. I mean, I like the idea of a free conversation about it and respectful conversation where you're not calling anyone else, you know, saying that they're betraying the Democratic Party or anything. And you let's look at the polls. Let's bring Biden back and have him make some speeches and see how he does. Yeah, the speech the next day was fine. It certainly was in a different situation where, you know, where he had a teleprompter and all that stuff. So, but it was good. I mean, it was good to see him out there. He needs to be doing a bunch of interviews and show himself, but also look at the polls and see what the people think. Because you know, the pundits are not the people.
But also get back to the stakes of this. We have just had some of the most damaging Supreme Court decisions of our lifetime.
Right.
And we have hardly talked about them at all. Right. And there is just as much to be said about running against this Supreme Court as there is against, you know, all the other factors that come into the race. I'm not going to say hopefully we'll get back to this. We will, because, again, there's an eternity till November. Mark right. Jacob, thanks for the extra time and flexibility with your schedule. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a great day. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell, 3 things you need to know to start the week. After this, you're up north.
The other day, I had a ricochet biscuit. A ricochet biscuit is the kind of a biscuit that's supposed to bounce back off the wall into your mouth.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Terry Bell in just a second. First, tomorrow on the show, a couple more of my Up North News colleagues. Social media manager Sharita Booker talking about some of the more popular social media posts, and Christina Laurie, who puts together our newsletter, will have the uplift for us, all that tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, a much more relaxed show, since the host will now officially be able to play the old man card whenever he wants to. And so we're just going to have kind of a more of a kickback segment with both Joe Zepecki and Melissa Baldoff. Kind of like we did at Christmas time, where, again, we just talked to them about being a little power couple in Wisconsin and get their take on life in Wisconsin during an election year. We'll be joined by Kristen Lyerly. We'll be joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel to talk about all these terrible U.S. Supreme Court decisions. We're expecting at least another terrible decision later this morning. Heather Dubois-Boronon and Chris Hambuck-Boyle will talk to us from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and about continued advocacy for our public schools. So all that and more coming up on Wednesday before we set sail for the very long holiday weekend. Terry Bell is here now with three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, do you have a big holiday plan for either Thursday or the whole holiday weekend?
The highlight, I think, is going to be a get together with old friends that go all the way back to college. So we're going to grill steaks and sip bourbon and be guys.
Very nice. All right. As far as three things you need to know to start the week, one that we have not touched on yet this morning was an escalator malfunction at American Family Field over the weekend. And some folks were pretty badly hurt by it.
Yeah, 11 people were hurt. Six had to go to the hospital. So this was after the Brewers-Cubs game was letting out. And, you know, if anybody's been to a major league ballpark knows that, you know, there's a lot of people heading out the doors at exactly the same time. And a lot of people heading down an escalator were on it when it apparently malfunctioned. I've heard it described as a roller coaster gone out of control. And the thing is that people who were at the bottom of this escalator in particular, a lot of people were nearly crushed, to put it mildly. And people could not get out of the way in time. People could not, you know, adjust in time. And it was quite the scene. And it looks like these injuries are non-life threatening. So that's the good news. Hopefully they're not very serious. But we're still waiting to hear about exactly why that happened and how long that escalator is going to be out of commission.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just not something you expect because things get inspected all the time. You assume that they're working. So we'll hopefully be able to figure out what it is so that maybe we can guard against it in the future. All right, getting back to the presidential campaign here in Wisconsin. We all know how the Democratic candidate gets on the ballot and the Republican candidate gets on the ballot through a whole primary election process. But you ever look at a ballot and you see there's all these other independent candidates. It's like, well, how do they get on there? And you're going to tell us a bit more about that, especially with one of the more prominent independent candidates.
Sure. So as you mentioned, there is a benchmark for getting on the November ballot. It's just not a question of just declaring yourself eligible. In Wisconsin, you have to go out and collect 2,000 valid signatures, and you have roughly a month to do that. And we heard yesterday, if you were watching WISN TV's Upfront, RFK's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign manager was saying they expect to collect twice that many in about half the time. The reason why it's significant, the reason why I wanted to talk about it this morning is in a race between Biden and Trump, which is the margins are razor thin with every poll that comes out. There's a big difference when you get a third party candidate in that polling question, especially when asked about RFK Jr. So whether or not he gets on the ballot could very well make a big difference on the presidential election in Wisconsin and thus the nation. So we're keeping a close eye on that. It's a pretty low bar, let's face it. Yeah. But there isn't much question that he will be eligible, but it does make a difference.
Well, and then it becomes, yes, a matter of because we have a two-party system in this country, whether you like it or not. Anytime there's a prominent independent candidate, the question becomes, are they drawing more of their support from, you know, the candidate on the Democratic side or the candidate on the Republican side? The latest Marquette poll showed that even when you put the independent candidates in, and all of them combined, I forget RFK Jr.'s number, but all of them combined was 16%. Mm-hmm. But once you take that 16% out and you've got the other 84% voting for Trump or Biden, they were still neck and neck. They're still at 42% each. So in this case, in that one particular poll, the independent candidate seems to be drawing from both equally. But again, it is a wild card from now till then. You know, who gets on the ballot, who makes a lot of noise, and how many people go, yeah, I'm going to vote for this guy instead. And, it's anybody's guess at this early stage of the game.
Yeah, an interesting thing is that RFK Jr.'s numbers have been falling. In the Marquette poll, he got 16% of the vote. Now he's down to 8% in the last one. So that's evidence that maybe, as people tend to gravitate toward their major party choice as the season goes on. It's very fashionable to say you're going to vote third party or independent early on. But by the time Election Day comes, people tend to, as they say, come home.
Yes, or they don't in the case of Democratic-leaning voters who decided to go with Jill Stein in 2016 or Ralph Nader in 2000. So, you know, both parties would do well not to take anybody for granted. Tony Eppen Hayward writes a comment on YouTube, if only we had ranked choice voting. If only we had a lot of things, you know, viable. I don't want just a third party in this country. I want a third and a fourth and a fifth. I want coalition governments, you know, but I want a lot of things in life that I'm not necessarily going to get. All right, let's close on something that concerns me very greatly as somebody who lived on Grand Cayman for 3 years. And Hurricane Beryl is barreling down now on the Caribbean islands, making a beeline toward Jamaica and Cayman and other areas. And it's very concerning because there's definitely friends in the path.
For sure. And this is one notable thing about this hurricane. It is the earliest Category 4 hurricane ever recorded. Mm. There had never been a Category 4 hurricane in June ever before. It's since been downgraded a bit to Category 3. But the size and strength of this hurricane is something that reminds you that you have to take it seriously. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. I mean, again, this early, it's almost like there's something changing about the climate, maybe, that allows for this. But, you know, we wouldn't want to debate that right now. Terry Bell has three things you need to know. He and the whole team at Civic Media keeping you updated on the news throughout the day. Terry, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
All right. Good to have all of you with us here, and I hope that you really enjoy your day this Monday. We'll see you back here on Tuesday. You can follow me on social media. Just look for Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook. And, again, sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for joining us here on the lake on this Monday morning. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for the Trump immunity ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll find out if Joe Biden's got SEAL Team 6 on speed dial.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.